This audio recording is a resource of the Center for Bioethical Reform. This and other resources can be found at www.abortionno.org. This essay is by Greg Cunningham, CBR Executive Director, and is read by CBR staff, February 2011. Dear pro-life friend, on February 4th, 2011, a student emailed Students for Life at University of California, Irvine, the sponsoring club for CBR's Genocide Awareness Project, on April 19th and 20th, 2010. This student was a freshman last April. She was also pregnant and considering abortion. Thank God she saw our display with huge photo murals of abortion and other genocide victims. The photos, plus the words on a new sign, quote, "By day 22, the embryo's heart begins to beat," prompted her to cry, so CBR staff members spoke with and prayed for her. She was introduced to Students for Life members who referred her to a local pregnancy help center. In December 2010, she gave birth to a beautiful daughter. The student wrote about how thankful she was for CBR's GAP display. She and her child were spared from horror beyond what the photos depict. Consider, for instance, an AP story which ran on January 19, 2011, headlined, "DA, PA abortion doc killed 7 babies with scissors." It said, "A doctor whose abortion clinic was described as filthy, foul-smelling, house of horrors that was overlooked by regulators for years was charged Wednesday with murder, accused of delivering 7 babies alive and then using scissors to kill them. No one seemed to care that, in addition to butchering preborn babies, Dr. Kermit Gosnell was also killing newborn babies and killing their mothers too." Philadelphia prosecutors called the case a complete regulatory collapse. I am well acquainted with Pennsylvania law related to abortion. While a state legislator, I sponsored much of Pennsylvania's abortion control legislation, some of it litigated before the U.S. Supreme Court. As long as Dr. Gosnell was willing to exterminate large numbers of minority babies, state regulators deemed it politically incorrect to ask how recklessly he was doing it. The AP said, quote, "His clinic had no trained nurses or medical staff other than Gosnell, a family physician not certified in obstetrics or gynecology," prosecutors said. At least 2 women died from the procedures, while scores more suffered perforated bowels, cervixes, and uteruses, authorities said. This is the sort of atrocity one might expect to be commonplace in third world countries. And indeed, the Los Angeles Times, September 9, 2010, published a Mexican abortion story headlined, quote, "7 are freed in so-called infanticides." The article explains that, quote, "Advocates say the women who insist they suffered miscarriages got caught up in Mexico's cultural wars over abortion. The 7 women were accused of killing their newborn babies and handed long prison sentences," end quote. One Mexican feminist argued that, quote, "authorities were determined to prosecute the women without compassion or concern for the context," end quote. But where was the compassion for these defenseless newborns? And what context would justify killing a newborn? The fact that abortion was illegal? Eventually, she admits exactly that. Quote, "It is strange to me that prosecutors were so viciously targeting women who were not given the basic tools to make responsible decisions about their reproductive lives." Translation, where women are denied the right to abortion, they thereby acquire an alternative right to infanticide. Unlike Mexico, or at least outside of Mexico City, late-term abortions aren't illegal in Philadelphia. Dr. Gosnell just wasn't competent to perform them. FoxNews.com said, quote, "Gosnell was certified in family practice, but had never finished an obstetric/gynecology residency." In the words of Joanne Pescator, a lead city prosecutor on the case, quote, "he does not know how to do an abortion," end quote. So instead of Dr. Gosnell killing babies in the womb, he induced labor, forced the live birth of viable babies in the 6th, 7th, 8th month of pregnancy, and then killed those babies by cutting into the back of the neck with scissors and severing their spinal cord, District Attorney Seth Williams said. These killings became so routine that no one could put an exact number on them, the grand jury report said. They were considered standard procedure. There was even a trivializing euphemism for this barbarity. Gosnell referred to his execution technique as snipping, prosecutors said. The article adds that, quote, prosecutors estimated Gosnell ended hundreds of pregnancies by cutting the spinal cords, but they said they couldn't prosecute more cases because he destroyed files. And abortionists killing late-term babies outside the uterus because they are not competent to kill them inside the uterus may be more common than commonly imagined. For instance, the Times of London reported a November 27, 2005 story headlined, quote, 50 babies a year alive after abortion. It said that, quote, a government agency is launching an inquiry into doctors' reports that up to 50 babies a year are born alive after botched National Health Service abortions. Why? Its guidelines say that babies aborted after more than 21 weeks and 6 days of gestation should have their hearts stopped by an injection of potassium chloride before being delivered. In practice, few doctors are willing or able to perform the delicate procedure, so they opt for a more primitive procedure. Had Dr. Gosnell been smarter and more patient, he might have followed the lead of his British baby-butchering buddies and let his victims die of neglect after he induced their live births. Barack Obama has repeatedly blocked legislative attempts to incriminate abortionists who induce labor and abandon live-born babies. Taking advantage of Mr. Obama's license to kill might have kept Dr. Gosnell out of jail. In one of Dr. Gosnell's most horrifying atrocities, an abused patient, quote, eyeing what she described as the dazed woman in dirty, blood-stained recliners at the clinic, had a change of heart as the procedure got underway. I said, quote, I don't want to do this. And he, the abortionist, smacked me. They tied my hands and arms down and gave me more medication. Johnson, now 30, told the Associated Press. What an ennobling example of respect for a woman's right to choose. Elections.nyttimes.com reported January 13, 2011, that during an April 2007 Democratic primary debate, Obama said, quote, I trust women to make these decisions in conjunction with their doctors. The doctor's role in this decision-making process appears to be beating and drugging reluctant patients. BBCnews.com, January 19, 2011, titled their Philadelphia carnage coverage, quote, Dr. Kermit Gosnell killed babies at abortion clinic. Their story reported that, quote, the grand jury said Dr. Gosnell and his staff had speeded women through the abortion process, skirting strict state regulations, including rules about teenage patients, performing abortions well past the state's statutory cutoff of 24 weeks. His clinic would induce labor, then killed the babies, the grand jury said in its report. But state statutory cutoffs of any abortion rights beyond any fetal age are totally unenforceable. The press always gets this wrong, but all an abortionist must do to circumvent these prohibitions is claim that the terminated pregnancy threatened the mother's health. The U.S. Supreme Court in Doe v. Bolton ruled that health exceptions must include the mother's emotional well-being. In other words, health essentially means mood. And since the federal law trumps state law, if a mother is upset by her pregnancy, even on the last day of its ninth month, no abortionist can be convicted of killing her baby. PostGazette.com, January 20th, 2011, then reported a related story headlined, Mount Lebanon Man Held on Murder Charges in Abortion Clinic Probe. It disclosed that, quote, detectives arrested Stephen Massoff, 48, and added that for the nearly 5 years that Mr. Massoff worked at Dr. Gosnell's Women's Medical Society clinic, he posed as a doctor, though he did not have a medical license. Even more horrifying with Massoff's admission, quote, that there were about 100 instances in which he severed the spinal cords of babies who were breathing or had other signs of life. To make matters worse, were that possible, the article also reported, quote, Mr. Massoff was often the only purported doctor working in the clinic during daylight hours, from noon until Dr. Gosnell arrived at the clinic as late as 9 or 10 p.m., according to grand jury report. In that same regard, the January 19 AP story says, quote, one of the murder charges against Gosnell involves a woman seeking an abortion, who authorities said died in 2009 because she was given too much of the painkiller Demerol and other drugs. Gosnell wasn't at the clinic at the time. His staff administered the drugs repeatedly as they waited for him to arrive. CNN.com confirmed Dr. Gosnell's pattern of no-show abortion practice in a January 20, 2011 story, headlined, "Pennsylvania Doctor Held Without Bail for Alleged Murder of Seven Babies." The article reported that, quote, "law enforcement officers began delving into the case while investigating tips that Gosnell had illegally sold thousands of prescriptions for OxyContin and other narcotics to patients he never examined," said Williams, the district attorney. This was despite the fact that the doctor was rarely present, instead having untrained, unsupervised workers routinely inject sedatives into women, he said. The story also notes that, quote, "an online resume of Mr. Massoff's posted on LinkedIn lists his most recent job as a team leader for the Dial America telemarketing company in Pittsburgh. Planned Parenthood might be interested in precisely these kinds of phone skills as they inaugurate their new phone-it-in abortion scam." Operation Rescue issued a February 4, 2011 press release on ChristianNewsWire.com. Quote, "71 congressmen ask Sebelius to come clean on Telemed abortion funding," explaining this scam. Quote, "a Telemed abortion is abortion via a teleconferencing service similar to Skype. Patients are put in a room where an off-site abortionist appears on a computer monitor and explains the medical abortion procedure to them over an internet hookup. After the brief teleconference, the dangerous abortion drug RU486, also known as mifepristone and mifeprex, and its counterpart misoprostol, as prescribed. Abortion Rescue says, quote, "the drugs are then administered to the patient by a nurse or a clinician who may or may not be licensed. The patient presses a button on a computer screen that opens a box containing the abortion drugs. This is death by vending machine. The patient is never physically examined by the medical doctor prescribing the drugs, or any other for that matter, and never sees the abortionist again." Earlier still, a March 11, 2010 story on Dr. Gosnell's initial arrest appeared at phillynews.com under the headline, quote, "Doctor from Hell or Godsend? Descriptions of abortion clinics often evoke images of hell." On June 10, 2009, the Enid, Oklahoma News and Eagle reported a story headlined, quote, "local woman formerly worked for slain Kansas abortion doctor. This former George Tiller employee is Lura Tivis, and she reveals that, quote, I was seeing 8 and 9 month pregnant women come in," she said, "and out of those 24 a week, only about 2% had medical deformities." The article adds that, quote, "she recalled one day seeing Tiller come from the surgery room carrying a cardboard box. He asked her to open a door for him, and she saw his crematorium. I realized that the box was full of dead babies. On average, the late-term babies he killed were so far along in pregnancy that they could have survived outside the womb had he induced labor without first killing them. Was Dr. Tiller any better than Dr. Gosnell?" A June 11, 2009 story by Kathleen Gilbert, LifeSiteNews.com, titled, quote, "How George Tiller Drove His Own Employee to Join Operation Rescue," also quotes a letter which Dr. Tiller received from an angry patient who described her third trimester abortion as, quote, "the most horrible experience of my life." In a hellish scene, straight out of Dante's Inferno, the former patient detailed the nightmarish basement room to which women were sent to deliver their babies after Dr. Tiller had poisoned them. Quote, "she said that women were crying and screaming, and there was blood everywhere, blood running down their legs, and it was just horrible. Slavery is an analogous and demonically inspired evil, which also evokes satanic imagery. Inhuman Bondage, The Rise and Fall of Slavery in the New World, Pulitzer Prize winner by David Bryan Davis, Oxford 2006, describes the hellish abuse suffered by slaves on sugar plantations. Quote, "the labor was exhausting, the nighttime scene of boiling cauldrons, the whirring mill, the sweating bodies, caused more than one observer to evoke the image of hell." Davis adds that, quote, "when slaves were working shifts of 16 to 18 hours, usually with inadequate diets, there was considerable danger, especially at night, of a worker catching his or her fingers in the vertical rollers. A hatchet was kept in readiness to sever the arm. Slave women with a missing arm were a common sight, just as maimed women were a common sight at Dr. Gosnell's clinic. RealClearPolitics.com, August 19, 2008, ran a related story headlined, "Obama Lying About His Abortion Record." It explained that Mr. Obama once told Pastor Rick Warren that he favors, quote, "limits on late-term abortions if there is an exception for the mother's health." Mr. Obama cynically declined to reveal that, as noted above, the court has defined health so broadly that any health exception in any abortion regulation makes that regulation unenforceable as regards any abortion at any stage of pregnancy. Mr. Obama supports killing late-term babies who are partially born. Is he any better than Dr. Gosnell? On August 11, 2008, Jill Stanek wrote an infanticide blog titled "Breaking News: New Documents Show Obama Cover-Up on Born Alive Survivors Bill," in which she notes the discovery of, quote, "two separate documents proving Barack Obama has been misrepresenting facts about his legislative record on infanticide." As also noted above, Mr. Obama believes that doctors terminating late-term pregnancies should be permitted to kill, by intentional neglect, babies who survived botched abortions. Is he any better than Dr. Gosnell? The Tampa Tribune, January 28, 2011, published a story headlined, "Police: New Tampa Mom Fatally Shot Her Children." The article says, quote, "She told investigators she killed her teenage children because they talked back, they were mouthy, and she was tired of it," police spokeswoman Laura McElroy said. In shooting her bothersome born children, was she any worse than Dr. Gosnell, Dr. Tiller, Mr. Obama? This mindless moral morass is why CBR works so hard to convince the public that an embryo is as fully entitled to rights of personhood as any teenager, and that stem cell harvesting and abortion and infanticide are as evil as using handguns to execute adolescents. There are countless Dr. Gosnells out there, and that is why we thank God for your willingness to help us counterattack America's expanding culture of death. Lord bless Greg Cunningham, Executive Director. P.S. On January 13, 2011, a 22-year-old man from New York City described the influence our abortion videos and photos had on him. Quote, "It has greatly impacted how I perceived abortion. To see the pictures and video changes my perspective and shows how gruesome this actually is. Thank you." This concludes the recording of Greg Cunningham's letter for February 2011. For more information on this and other topics, go to www.abortionno.org.